All right, before we get started tonight is for a while until the Holy Spirit says different, and then of course every service is His anyway. We kind of try to get started as soon as possible because we're in a teaching series, and it's a little bit different than before. It's more of a line-on-line teaching, and it's called Faith Series 101. Tonight is the third lesson in Faith Series 101. And before we get started, we've got some handouts. But before the handouts go out, how many have not received lesson one handout? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. Get up, the ones that haven't, and walk back on the table and get one. Okay. And if you don't have, and whoever doesn't have lesson two did not receive lesson two. If you didn't receive lesson two, last week, and I don't know that we even have these, the books of the Bible. You have those back there too? That's on lesson one? Wow, that's really good. You'll find on lesson one a breakdown of all the Old Testament books of the Bible, which is really, really good. Now, hallelujah. Now, how many has lesson three? Okay, I was going to see, okay? If you're paying attention. Okay, go ahead and pass those out, lesson three. Please scribble on these. Write on them. Write, I don't like Pastor. I didn't agree with what he just said. Or that makes sense, or I've always... And at the end of tonight, last week it was so good. I don't know if I taught so good, or it might be that we just went a little over. I'm going to try to have you where, even after your comments, questions, and answers, that we're out of here by 9. But last week we went to like 15:15, and just a little bit over. And... So nobody had any questions. I think everybody was like, it's real good, so let's just go home. So we'll leave you a little bit of margin tonight. Would you bless me? I would certainly appreciate that. So would you just pray for me? Father, I receive grace. I breathe in, breathe out the Holy Spirit. You know I can do nothing of myself. But Father, what I know is this, your grace is sufficient. And I believe that you guide me in all things at all times. And I pray that, Lord, that you will open up these things that you've placed in my spirit, my mind, my body. Guide us in these things in wisdom and simplicity. If I hear any other route, any other thing, Lord, that you might be saying, Father, guide us in that path. Lead us. Let us only go the path the Holy Spirit would lead and dictate tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I will continually ask you to please, and the Holy Spirit will use my voice in your head to remind you, pray for your pastor. And pray for your pastor's wife, too, because she has to put up with your pastor. That's probably the main reason why. Amen. Pray for your pastor. And pray for the one that has to put up with, okay? And just pray. I'm doing good. Just pray that I keep doing what he asked me to do. Amen. Okay, it's time for our song of the week. Are we ready? Miss Candy? And I think this week you have a choir. Okay. We're learning the books of the Bible. Why? Because we want to. And... because we want you to go to a church that you feel informed and you understand.
Testing.
If somebody says tonight, well, you know, what does this have to do with raising the dead or getting little kids out of wheelchairs? If you have recently raised the dead or gotten a little kid out of a wheelchair, you do not have to sing this song. Okay? Everybody, let's all stand. Are you ready? Okay.
Thank you. children, let us tell the books of the Bible we love so well. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, Samuel, Kings 1 and 2. Chronicles, Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Job, Psalms, and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Acts, and Romans, Corinthians, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians 1 and 2, Timothy, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, and James, Peter, Peter, John 1, 2, and 3, Jude, and Revelation.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. I heard a couple of you just sing Jude and Revelation. Benny, was that?
And I wasn't cheating.
I wasn't? Oh, okay. She's got them. Okay. All right. Let's turn to our launching scripture, and that is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. What we're going to do is pass in review on lesson number 2 for just a few moments tonight before we get into lesson number 3, because it's valuable information there to just be rehearsed in lesson number 2. We haven't really been able to get past verse 1 of chapter 11 because there's such strength, there's such understanding and what true faith is. Before we actually read that verse, go to the back page, page 5 of your handout on lesson number 2. And let's read what I would call the preamble. What is the kind of the statement of what we're all about here for this series, however long it lasts. And this is not real poetic. It's not real written and inscribed all that great. But nevertheless, it's right out of the heart, which makes it great. Why are we studying what we're studying, Faith 101? Most Christians don't understand what true faith looks like. People can be around the talk of faith for an entire lifetime and believe that they understand faith, and yet the fruit of their life reveals that they really know very little about true faith. Why is it that the Word of God makes it sound so simple receiving our answers from God? Yet, when it comes down to it, so many of our prayers seem to be lost in what I described here as the land of forgetfulness, the land of unanswered prayer. Is it really that hard to get something from God? What is missing? He makes it sound so simple. Ask and you shall receive. What could be more simple than that? But the majority of most Christians' prayers seem to be bypassed or somehow outlived. Is God simple or complex in answering prayer? Is he just talking from a God perspective that to him seems simple and yet in our reality would take many lifetimes to employ? And that is where we're at in Faith Series 101. Have you ever thought about things from a standpoint where you think, well, God said this, but he told us to do this, and he told us to move this mountain, he told us to have a revival, and he told us to raise the dead, but that's God saying that. And so is he just saying things from a God perspective? Because to him, everything is free, and He's God, and He sees everything perfectly, and He is true love, and He is true faith. And in other words, He doesn't have any problems to get over. So it's easy for Him to say. So is that a God perspective that He's talking about? No, He's talking about us moving mountains and exercising faith from a human perspective. Yes, it's from His mind, but He's actually looking and saying, you truly can do this. You truly not jump through hoops and jump through fiery rings, and you don't have to live 100 lifetimes. Something can really happen in your life. And for us, what we're the epitome of our success hinges on something that we're calling a revival. And that's a success according to a harvest. Obviously, our success has already been made complete just in a relationship with Jesus Christ. But we're looking at faith in a realistic sense and say, is it very tangible? Is it something that you can see? Is it something that you can hear? Why is it that there's not that much success? We don't want to look at our church and say there's no success. But yet, in a certain sense, a lot of our prayers go unanswered. A lot of the people that we pray for, I'd like to almost strike this out of the tape or out of the lesson that goes out. But nevertheless, it goes right along with where the church world is at today. A lot of the people that we pray for with terminal illness, they die. A lot of the emergencies that we pray for, we see difference. And a lot of times we see a miraculous difference. But right now, my heart is grieved like you that are seeking the Lord. I don't see a living example in the earth today where that people are able to look undeniably and say, that's the power of God. That's the raw power of God that performed that miracle. Most of what we're getting right now, at best, is if you go to a church like this who teaches mortification and teaches a pathway, all the basic pathways into God like we're teaching, one of the things that you will see, it has to happen, God will visit the place. And you will see a trail, the Bible says these signs, Jesus said these signs will follow them that believe. So we have a record book. I mean, for a while we were writing them down. You know, we had a bunch of them written down, and we can remember if we went around the room tonight through the years, a lot of miracles that have taken place where we say, we know if God had not done this, it had to be God. It was a God thing. And you personally can testify about things like that. But overall, what we're seeing, even in churches like this where there's power, is to this point, there's kind of a, I really don't want to use the word mixture, that comes to mind, but that implies something that's not necessarily a good God thing. I'll use the word combination. Right now there's more when our mountains are moved, big mountains, like huge sicknesses, diseases, failure that could depend on our total financial destruction, anything that would be cataclysmic. Right now, the best that we're basically seeing is a combination of the power of God, to whatever extent He can get involved, and the provision of man. Whatever we can kind of like, okay, add some medicine to it, or get a loan at the bank, or just do without. Just kind of do without, and sometimes that's not bad. But we're not seeing as of yet the raw power where you look at it and say, my God, that is God. I mean, He took care of it from the beginning to the end. Now, listen, better clarify something. God will get involved with medicine because He loves people. And I believe that with all my heart, and He'll put His hand on that. But we're after something called a spiritual awakening. We're after something where people walk in here and say, wow, God is in the house. We see it every service. Now, let's give an example where we have been giving each week. Let's read verse 1. The word says here, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me go ahead and reiterate our example. I'm not going to go through it to the full course and call people up tonight as I have before in the past. If you've been with us over the last couple of weeks, and this is your third week, then we've given a couple of examples of this particular verse, and we'll reiterate it to some extent tonight, because I hold in my hand a trophy. That trophy represents, in this verse, substance, something tangible, something that you can hold on to. Now, the Bible says there, where we just read, it says, faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for. Right there, we have to stop and say hope is a very important part of faith. Hope is an expectation in a future event. Even if that future event is right now while you're being prayed for, I'm futuristically praying, believing that in the next moment, as prayer is being administered to my body or over my body, that something is going to take place. But we are talking the last couple of weeks, and this being the third week, of a hope that moves mountains, that moves numbers of mountains in our life. And so the word says here that faith is the substance. In other words, it's something that becomes real to you, absolutely real to you. The substance of hope, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, the illustration that we've been giving is this, that if it was a person who was a runner and they were looking forward to a race, and the race was something that they had always hoped for, that they would win the glory of it. If somebody came from the future, like the moderator of the race, and brought a trophy to them and said, look, you already won the race. Well, naturally speaking, that can't happen. But that's what happens in the spirit. Once that person holds the trophy in their hand, then there's something inside of them that says the evidence of things not yet done or not yet seen is out there. But I hold in my hand a substance, or as we now transliterate it or translate it, it's not something in the natural, but it's so tangible. And I love that word, or I use that word. Tangible doesn't mean that you can see it in the natural. Tangible, I'm saying, is something that you actually hold inside of you so strong that it begins then to dictate your world. It dictates the way you speak. It can put you to sleep even when the problem's still there. It can wake you up in hope even when the problem is still there. It is the substance of things hoped for and yet the evidence of things not yet seen. Now let's continue on with two and review for just a moment. We covered last week, once again, the words of Jesus out of Mark chapter 11. We're not turning there tonight, but we found two things, or we stated two things there, and we found one thing that Jesus really talked about. We talked about confession of our faith, and it builds hope, which ultimately builds faith, and it's very deliberate. But there's two ways to confess: conversational confession or deliberate prayer confession. Most people really never make the transition. If they ever begin to hear sermons on what your mouth will produce, basically, most people will only hold to the place where they try to change what they say when they're talking to somebody. That's good. That's first base. But that really won't change things ultimately to where change really takes place. Why? Because you can't say enough in conversations to ever change your heart if your heart is going through a desperate, desperate battle and it's vacillating between, is it going to happen? Am I going to be healed? Am I not going to be healed? Are we going to make it? Am I not going to be making it? There's not enough, you're not going to run into enough people that's going to ask you that, where you're going to say it enough times. There's two types of confession: conversational confession, where you say the right thing at the right time, or prayer confession. And prayer confession is the one that Jesus was talking about in Mark chapter 11 when he said, and when you stand praying, forgive. Because his whole mind was, when you pray, say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, doubt not in your heart. We talked about doubting in your heart or in your mind. Let me say this, because this is vitally important what we said last week concerning your heart and your mind. Can't go back there and break it all down again. But this, your thoughts, do not change the outcome if you're holding tight enough to this. And if you're listening, I'm holding to the trophy. It's the substance of things hoped for. You can have a devilish battle in your mind concerning whether or not it's going to happen. But as long as you do not begin to speak it out with your mouth, and as long as you do not begin to release it in your conversation or stop your prayer confession, you are still holding on to this hope. The devil, one of his greatest onslaughts is when he gives you a great mental battle, like yesterday you spent 30 minutes confessing over your need and you felt hope. I got it. I've locked in. Joe calls. Hello. How's that thing going? Well, I'll tell you what, I haven't seen anything change in the natural, but my God says that He supplies and meets all of my needs according to His riches and glory. Okay. But then you wake up the next morning, you feel horrible. Something happens with the kids. There's an environment in the house. You get a bad phone call, and the yuck feeling comes on you. And yuck seems to follow you around all day. What's your name? I'm Yuck the Duck. I'm a bad feeling. And then the emotion of whatever else is trying to creep in tries to come at your hope in that other area. And it'll tantalize your mind. It'll begin to tantalize. It'll begin to antagonistically threaten it and say, what about this? What about that? Before long, the high that you felt in your hope with your confession, you'll begin to feel like, man, I've let everything slide today. Listen, you haven't let it slide. You're just under a battle. Do not give up your hope. This is a substance. It can only be released if you begin to release it with your mouth, and if you begin to release it in your heart and say, okay, maybe it's not going to happen, but it is going to happen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now Jesus said there, whosoever says to this mountain, He talked about the latter part of that and covering it was after everything He said, and I say unto you that whosoever would not forgive his brother, we talked about, remember the last part? And we said last week, what does love have to do with it? Faith has everything to do with it. It's not a Tina Turner song. It has everything to do with it. I'm not looking at my notes. I'll see it when I get there, but I'm reminded of it right now is, when you begin your aspiration of speaking to that mountain, when you start talking to it and you start using scriptural words against it, what we said last week, and which bears repeating on this so-called short review, is that you're going to get a visitor soon and very soon. Hello? Yes? I'm a visitor. Well, I don't recognize you as a visitor. Yes. What is your name? My name is offense. My name is upset you. My name is to bring something out of your past or out of your present to get you mad at somebody in the church. Why? Because Jesus hooked up faith and love and forgiveness like two peas in a pod. They cannot be separated. They have to work together. The first thing that the enemy's going to do when he sees you starting to confess the word, you might as well, if you get past it and you don't notice that anything's come, it may be that you garrisoned yourself so strong that even when something did come, you just pushed right past it. But something is going to usually come to steal the word from you, and the greatest thing that the enemy has in getting you to get your faith off the mountain is somebody coming with an offense. Are you getting... I did not like what Pastor Dave told me in Homer. I did not like it. Sam, I am. I will not eat these green eggs and ham. He said, if you knew what unforgiveness had to do with You're getting your prayers answered. Now this is, he got downright malicious here. He said you wouldn't even allow yourself to get angry if you knew how much power just walking in continual love had on bringing into effect. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Who satisfies my mouth, we're covering, and satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. That's Psalms 103, verse 5. If you didn't know it, I can tell you it's important that you say good things over your body and over your mind and over your children and over your finances. Your body can be renewed. It can be renewed, and it can be renewed like the eagles so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, I'm going to just skip through this just a little bit more and then go to 3. I like what it says on the second page. I think it's worth reading and reviewing. It says in the paragraph past the scripture reading there, really, in the heart of God, Jesus cannot come and heal you. In other words, he can't come from someplace and heal your body. Why? Because he already has done it. Now, it is necessary for us to put into effect what is already done on our behalf on all circumstances and situations in this life. This is our inheritance because of the price Jesus paid for us, spirit, soul, and body in redemption. This is the place called Dunn, and we talked about the place called Dunn quite a bit. Now, if you really can put your teeth into faith, you've got to understand this part. The verses prior to it talk about, it's in Romans 10, about that, well, I'll just read it since we've got it there. It says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks like this, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. In other words, this, Jesus, we went through it last week, not going through it again, but if you believe, if something inside of you yet believes like, I need to get him to come and heal me, then in a certain sense, although you're not saying it with your mouth and you really don't mean to say this, but there's a certain sense that he needs to do something that he's not already done. He needs to execute something for me that he's not already done. But if we understand how absolute the atonement was, his beating, how absolute that was, and how that everything was put on him. And in the verse or the page prior to this, we had something in there from Hebrews about the end of the world. Because everything really was put on him at the end of everything. Everything consolidated on Jesus Christ. And so in the heart of our Father, the reason why Jesus doesn't come from some place and heal you is because there is a law in effect that says he's already done it. It's already done. So our ministry on this grace line up here, or our ministry to the masses, is as you go and as you come, is you're not praying for people to be healed. And that sounds a little bit, what? You are praying for people to be healed, but what you're not saying is, Jesus, will you heal this person? I'm asking you to heal this person. Don't ask him to heal him. Execute the position that you have to say, Jesus, I pronounce healing to this person's body right now. In Jesus' name, I command you to rise up and walk. Or in Jesus' name, I curse the flu on you. Don't lay your hands on somebody and say, Jesus, because we've done it all of us have done it. Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord, will you just please right now, will you come and touch his body? Lord, I'm asking you to take this fever off of him, and I'm asking you to, no. He can't come and do that because he's already done it. He's like, I'm in a seated position. I've left all that down there. And the Holy Spirit will execute it anytime that you say, I say you are healed. Be healed. Be relieved of your infirmity. Be healed of your disease. Be healed. Now, does it really all that matter? Oh, yes, it really does matter. Why? Because when you're going into a hellacious battle with the mountain that you're speaking to, you have to realize this. You're not trying to get him to come and do something. What you're doing is you are speaking into existence in your life what has already been put into effect. And it means a lot because Jesus doesn't have to come from heaven. He doesn't have to travel all the way wherever heaven's at and come down here and straighten it all out. He's already done that. Hallelujah. And so your authority on this earth gives him the right that when you speak his name, he'll get involved. Praise the Lord. The church has yet to realize through the true revelation how real this place is already. For us in the flesh, this place doesn't seem complete or real until the pain leaves or the check comes in. But in the heart of God, there's no difference in the reality of that place while the pain is still there or the problem in the natural still remains between where there's no more pain and everything in the natural is complete. God is not oblivious to our pain and suffering. He wants more than we do for it to be manifest in the natural realm. That is why the place called done exists. Now, that's a phrase that we come up with, and we've explained that. This is the completion of all things, both in the spirit and the natural. This is the place of full dominion. This is why Jesus was manifested to bring about the dominion of all things, both in the spirit and in the natural. The hardest part for us is realizing how real this place is. Only by the Holy Spirit, through the love of God, can this place truly be manifest in our hearts. Remember what Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit. He will take of mine and show it unto you. Now, I like this question. Does God rejoice more with you when you're in faith and holding that trophy in your heart and saying, okay, I believe, I believe, I believe? Or does he as a loving father rejoice more when the pain goes away and the trial's over and it's complete in both realms? And really the answer in truth is both. Both. Because when you're standing here and the affliction is still in your body and yet you're saying, okay, 2 weeks ago, listen, faith is a process. Everybody say that with me. Faith is a deliberate process. When you first start out, usually you don't start out with great momentum. But if you do your homework every day and do the things that are necessary, you will gradually get a stronger grip on the reality of your healing. And more of it will come. I have found in the hardest, deepest, darkest shadows of my life through years that some of the deepest emotional pain, physical pain, people leaving my life, here, there, church situations, financial situations, I have found that when the love of God is spread abroad in my heart and hope has its perfect work and it goes to a point where this trophy gets something so dear to me that you couldn't pry it out of my heart, that there, even before the situation changes, that there's a communion between me and the Holy Spirit. Like, I can feel him. He doesn't enjoy the pain that I'm going through, but he enjoys the camaraderie that the two of us have while walking through the trial together. I can feel the Father saying, that's why the Word says it's impossible to please him without faith. But faith does please him. He loves it while you're holding something in your heart that you can't see with your hands. And you're confessing and saying, I believe you, Father. You're not going to leave me alone. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. You're going to bring me through this. And it's like the Holy Spirit saying, You're just my favorite right now. And obviously we're all His, but there's an intimacy that comes when you're walking in faith and the thing hasn't changed yet. But you know what? I've also been over here when this trophy is not laid down, but when it all works out. It got paid. Everything where the pain went away, or the emotional pain went away, and you knew it went away. Why? Because you didn't think about it for 2 weeks. You know, when you don't think about something, that's when it's gone. Well, even if it does come back and the thought comes through, you don't have to accept it. Amen? But I have found that in the hours of exuberance when I would cry and say, God, it's over. How many like when trials are over? I like it when trials are over. And I can feel the joy of my Father saying, you made it, son. You got through it. You got through that one. I'm happy for you. I'm happy that the pain's gone away. I'm happy that the check come in. I'm happy that, you know, everything's worked out. And I'm thinking, but you were happy over there when I was suffering and you were with me in that. Which one are you happiest over? He's happy in both. He's happy in both. Because it's that one that brings me to that one. But He likes it when the pain goes away. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, let me just mention one more part here. Because I could preach this whole thing on two again, because there's so much good stuff in here. Isn't there some good stuff? But I got to mention this part. When you start speaking to your mountain, we said this last week. Stand up here with me, Harry, please. Harry is standing here and look that way. I don't know what Harry's situation is. It could be a multitude of things. He could be having family problems, financial problems, physical problems, emotional problems. And sometimes you can get them all at one time. All at one time. How many of you have ever sat down in a chair and just said, okay, I'm not going to think about any of it because I realize I can't fix none of it. But you know what? You were, and I was, great speech, right? We were trying up to that point, but we got totally exhausted. And when we got totally exhausted and said, uh-oh, I'm fixing to crash and burn if I don't just give in. And when you just give in and say, my God, Jesus, Holy Ghost, I'm going to let you pray for me for about an hour, and I'm going to let you talk this over with the Father and show me how do I go from here. Because I don't know, you know, there's like 7 different trials going on, and I'm not sure which one's the biggest one, because you usually start with the biggest ones and work on those, but they all look, you know. How many of you, am I the only person that said, okay, we got other human beings here. Okay, great. Okay, so he's got several trials, but he's starting to speak to God through one of, we're talking about primarily tonight, and we were last week, one of the mechanisms of faith, and that's of confession and speaking to your mountains. Folks, listen, all of you that are born again, Spirit-filled, and worship God, you get to be led by the Holy Ghost. You're not somebody that somebody else has to come to you and tell you which scripture to use. When you commune with the Holy Ghost and worship God for a little while, the Holy Spirit will show you, or He'll remind you, or if you need to get your concordance out, He'll give you the scripture to stand on. Now, you don't need 15 scriptures. You just need one or two or three or four, or you just need some that you can get so familiar with that they're like your handyman. They're like, they fit in your holster. You're ready, you're quick draw on those. Every day, as soon as you get up out of bed, you think about those scriptures. You're like, man, I got these. These are mine. One or two scriptures are better for you than trying to learn 15 while you're going through hellacious trials. Because you're going to take one or two of those scriptures and you're going to worship the Father with it. And you're going to speak to that mountain and you're going to tell that mountain based on that scripture, if it's pertinent to that scripture, like a healing scripture or a financial scripture, you're going to speak to that mountain and you're going to tell that mountain where to go. Okay? You're going to tell that mountain to go to hell. Okay? Is that a right way? Okay? Okay, mountain. Financial mountain. So he's broke, and he doesn't, you know, he didn't even know how he's going to pay anything. And he doesn't know, I mean, so he starts speaking. And Gary said it took him, you know, Gary's coming. Y'all remember, we've had Gary here a bunch of times. It took Gary, he'll tell you, it took him how many months? So many months, so many hours a day. To finally, because he said money was staying away from him in great quantities, right? And he said, the Lord said, you got to get these scriptures, got to confess these scriptures, and you got to do it so much each day, okay? LaRue said it took him longer than it took Gary, I think. So, it sounded like, you know, but that's another story. He's funny when he tells that. So he starts talking. Harry starts talking to this mountain. He starts speaking to it. And he's believing God. He's believing God. Last week we talked about ambassadors. We talked about there's two ambassadors. When you start speaking your mountain, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. I'm financially free. I call myself free. Guess what? Something's going to come. Normally does. Try to get you mad at the church. I ain't coming back. Dear God, come on, wait a minute. You just started into your healing process. Don't do that. I tell you what, save getting mad till after your trial's over. Just say, I'm going to throw the biggest fit in the world and be mad at everybody after I get done with this trial. But right now, I'm just going to love everybody, and I'm going to keep myself pure before the Lord. So he's moving towards this. There's more ambassadors. So you're slowly moving. And as you're slowly moving and confessing, because God's taking it towards his destiny through confession, praying in tongues, but then there's another ambassador comes and stops him on the way. And it starts talking to him. Guess what? It's the Holy Ghost. And his confession towards the mountain brings this Holy Ghost wisdom from the Father. Guess what it is? It's wisdom of how to fully attain that mountain. Because your mountain is not just you speaking to it in faith and it goes away. There's other natural things that the Holy Spirit has to do. Okay, we said, step back for just a minute. We said this, if you're confessing over your body and you're confessing over your body and you don't take care of your body, or there's things that you're not doing for your body, the Holy Spirit will run down here. Up there is your full manifestation. I wish I could take you there today. You don't have to earn this, but I came from the Father. You're like, I've just been praying in tongues and confessing to the mountain. Why do I keep getting all these questions in my mind? Because the Holy Spirit will start coming saying, how you been treating your body? You don't have to say anything. Okay? Your back hurts? That's what you've been believing for? Now, you can be the skinniest person in the world and your back will hurt, okay? But if, please, and I said this could get me thrown out of the church, but if the Holy Spirit says, if he sees, like, you know what? 30 pounds off.
Or on.
For you. Don't help me out here, son. 30 pounds off your knees and back would help you. Now, I'm not going to not heal you. I'm just telling you, as we're going to the Father, you can help out this whole thing a lot quicker. Okay? 30 pounds off. Or, you know what? You feel real bad all the time, right? Yeah. You're confessing. And I'm coming from the Father. The Father sent me. He sent me. But you know what he wants me to tell you, too, is all that junk eating that you've been doing, you need to change that. Because you're confessing, it's like, why is the Holy Spirit talking to me about this? Because you're making him talk to you about it. Every time you say, I call myself healed, he says, you are healed, but let me tell you how you can stay healed, because if I heal you now, based on the way you tear up junk food, you're going to be right back needing me to heal you again in 2 or 3 months, and it ain't going to work. I'm confessing that the mountain is changed. My financial mountain is changed. And then he'll start talking to you. You know what? Have you ever considered a job? Now, I can get something to you, but you know what? A job will help. A job will help you. Or if you already got one, he'll say, have you ever considered that this is a dead-end job? You don't necessarily need to stay here forever. You need to start confessing me for, or he might start talking to you like this. You know what? Have you ever considered looking at a budget? Because I bet you don't know this, but you're throwing away about $75 to $100 a week times four, about $400 a month. You're just saying, I don't have it. I don't have it. I don't have it. And you're just throwing it away, son. And you're like, God, why are you talking to me about all this stuff? Just hush, Holy Spirit, hush. And let me receive a financial blessing. I want a financial blessing. And he's saying, I'm going to give you one. But you know what? You're throwing away more than I can give you. And based on you making $600 a week and you throw it away at least $150, let's see, if I gave you $10,000, you'd throw away about $4,000 of it. So, see, he's trying to help us. Now, we said last week is we don't want to get legalistic, because millions, thousands are going to come, and they're not going to be going through a process. They're going to receive their miracle right then, right? You can heal. You can get healed right now. You can get your financial blessing right now. But guess what? If you do it now or later, if you walk away healed, or you walk away and somebody gives you a bunch of money before you leave the church, someplace in your future, God's going to start talking to you about changing. Because if you don't, you're going to be right back in the same situation. Okay, let's look at three real quick. So we only got a few minutes for this. We've already went through 11:1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When it says evidence of things not seen, what is it talking about? It's talking about, obviously, in the what? Natural realm. You can't see it in the natural realm. But the substance is in the spiritual realm. So really, we could say it like this. It's not seen in the natural, but it is seen in the spirit. If you can say, I've got a substance, then you can see it. You can see it in a certain sense. So you could change that verse. We're not going to change it. But you could say, faith is the substance of things that you can see in the spirit, and the evidence of things that you cannot see in the natural. You got that? It's the substance of things you can see in the spirit. It's the substance of things you can see by hope in the spirit, but the evidence of things that you cannot see in the natural. So you're seeing in both realms. If you're not seeing in the natural, but you're seeing in the spirit, you've got faith. That's it. Hallelujah. Development is a deliberate act. Now, these are just statements, but you need to make sure you get them. Time alone does not develop faith. Does everybody understand that? In other words, just you sitting, listening, time in the pew, time in the saddle, is not going to develop your faith. Just you say, well, you know, I've got a trial, but time's going to take care of it. You know what? You may have that trial 5 years from now. You may have developed such a relationship with it, you can call it a friend. I have a friend. It's my trial that hasn't went away in a long, long time. I've learned to live with it. You guys didn't like that song, did you? Okay. This is one that the church overall needs to hear. Listening to more teaching alone does not develop faith. And I'll explain that in a minute. Trials alone do not develop faith. You can develop faith in the midst of the trial by using the Word of God, But how many of you ever heard your good fundamentalist buddies say, well, they're going through that, but God sent that to them to teach them faith? Well, then some of those people that are going through hell, losing their children, losing their lives, if that's the way God works faith, then they ought to be able to raise the dead when all that's over with. But they can't. Why? Because usually it just drains the whole life out of them. Faith doesn't come by trials. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The actions of faith are deliberate and many times inconvenient to the flesh. Did you hear that? Let's read that together. Actions of the faith are deliberate and many times inconvenient to the flesh. In other words, okay, let's say, for instance, you're going along real smooth for a while. Somebody said, I don't know what that means. But let's say you're going along pretty smooth. Let's say pretty smooth for a while. Let's say the trials that you've got, you're managing them and you're fighting back. And then something comes along that just kind of rocks your world. And you realize you're either going to be flattened on this, or you're going to have to crawl out of this, and you're going to have to exercise patience against the storm. Well, what you're going to have to do is deliberately make an action of faith. In other words, you're going to have to get a strategy and say, okay, I'm going to have, this is inconvenient. And where we really usually miss it is we don't like inconveniences. We don't like to have to say, okay, what this trial looks like it's going to do is it's going to, you know, it's going to make me, now Satan doesn't have authority over me, but I'm choosing as an obedient son or daughter, it's going to make me take another hour of, or else like if I was spending 2 hours a day, I'm going to have to now deliberately pray in tongues, whatever time I believe the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to have to really go in and listen to the Holy Spirit about developing some scripture that I'm meditating and begin to speak against my mountain. That's deliberate faith. That's a plan of attack. Usually our we're like kids to start when a trial hits us. We want to throw a tantrum, rub our feet together, and say, I don't like this, and I want it to go away, and I want it to stop right now. Well, God does too, but the devil, he's going to do whatever he can to enforce it. Well, when you don't like it enough, what you'll do is you'll say, I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. And this may be inconvenient to my flesh. I may have to spend more time in prayer. God help us if we have to spend more time in prayer. Isn't that, oh, Jesus. It's come to this. We've got to pray more. My God. The church is living in a time where more word is being heard by more individuals than ever before in the history of mankind. Yet the church is more powerless than ever before. If faith cometh by hearing the word of God, shouldn't the church today be more powerful than the first church? The church today sees less of the actual raw power of God to move mountains than ever before. Romans 10:17. Why don't we just turn there? We've got that scripture in front of us, but turn to Romans 10:17. Because I want you to see this. I don't want to take it out of context. Because you hear all the preachers preach this and teach this, but I want you to know it in its foundational context, and then we'll kind of launch from there. Look at verse 13 before we get down to 17. It says this, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written," and it is written in the Old Testament, "how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, the Lord who hath believed our report. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, what that is saying there is this, and most every faith message is said, look, you want to build your faith? Build it on the Word of God. It's faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's not just hearing it from the pulpit. It's hearing it as you rehearse it and reading it. And that, in a fact, is a truth. But what he's saying here is this. He's actually talking about the evangelism of the gospel. He's going back to the Old Testament, and he's quoting some scripture, I think, there from Isaiah, and he's saying, how are they going to believe this message of Christ is risen except there be a preacher? And, you know, one has to be sent, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the evangelism of the Word of God. That's what it's really talking about, the evangelism of the Word of God. And faith, he's talking about there is the faith of the acceptance of the gospel, the born again. That's what it's talking about. But that's the nucleus of it, and what he's saying there is this: faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, when they hear the Word, the faith to believe that Christ is and that He is the Redeemer, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When the first hearing is this, is that they heard it. Listen, people hear the Word of truth all the time, and it goes right over their head. People hear the gospel, and they could care less about accepting Christ. The day and hour that somebody truly hears something with their spirit, with their heart, that's the day they accept it and they receive it. And he's saying this: when they hear it and they understand it, then faith comes by understanding the Word of God. It's not just hearing the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. And the hearing there is that they truly receive it with understanding, the revelation of who He is. Well, how does that work no matter how far you go into Christ? 20 years later, after you're born again, it still works the same. It's not the amount of the Word that you hear. It's when you understand the Word, because faith cometh by the hearing, and that hearing is this: you heard it in a place where understanding fills your spirit. You heard the Word of God in a place where true truth is quickened unto you and it's nurtured unto you. That's when it becomes true faith to you, is when it becomes heard by you by the Word of God. Praise God. You got that? Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 17, we're talking about the true deliberate development of faith. He said in Matthew 17, 20 through 21, because of your unbelief, let me just stop right here and say, this is when they come down. He came down from the mountain with Peter, James, and John. They were trying to cast the devil out. They couldn't get the devil out. The rest of the disciples were trying to cast it out. This actually is our famous fasting scripture, but we're not talking about fasting tonight. We're not going to try to pull that in on faith, although there's some good stuff there. But Jesus said unto them in 20, because of your unbelief, because they asked him, why couldn't we cast it out? For truly I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed. And nothing, everybody say nothing, shall be impossible to you. Howbeit this kind goeth out, but what? Not but by prayer and fasting. Okay, he gives that at the end and says, they said, how couldn't we cast out, why couldn't we cast out this devil? And he says, look, first of all, he teaches on faith, and then he teaches his own unbelief. We usually kind of intermingle both of them, but in the future, we'll teach on the difference. Really, at the end, he tells you how to eradicate something. He tells you how to eradicate unbelief. But the eradication, in other words, how to kill unbelief. But the killing of unbelief allows the faith to spring forward. Because in the first part of this two-verse series, he tells you that faith can be built like a grain of a mustard seed. The latter part, he's telling you, look, doubt and unbelief can be eradicated by going without food. But we're not going into that tonight. But he tells you to start with, look, guys, nothing's impossible to the man or woman in the kingdom who has faith like, now some preachers preach faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. It's not the size of a grain of a mustard seed, because everybody in here has got faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. That would be just a teeny, 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 teeny little bit of faith. He says, like as, meaning as an example of the grain of a mustard seed. If you have faith like that, In other words, if you follow an understanding example of that, you will eventually have the capacity that all things are possible. All things are possible to them that have that like kind of faith. Well, then it's important for us, real quickly, in the next 3 minutes, to read what this kind of faith looks like. Matthew 13, 31 through 33, Jesus is also speaking about a grain of a mustard seed. He said, another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is, what did he call this little grain? Least of all seeds. Remember, when the word of God comes to you, why does it germinate? Because you understand it. Faith cometh by hearing. Well, everybody that hears it doesn't receive faith. It's hearing when you heard it. When you heard the word, in other words, when lights come on and you hear it, then faith comes by you hearing the word of God. That's when faith comes. That's that when that little morsel of faith, that little seed is in there. Now Jesus said, if you take that little seed, he said, faith, the grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which is least of all seed, but when it is sown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now we'll stop right there. We'll read the next verse in just a moment. Again, listen, more, and I know, I want you in church all I can get you here, and I know that I tell you that in the days ahead, it may be a year or two or whenever we're on live streaming, the people are going to hear our voice around the world. And I'm glad. But just more listening to preachers. See, people in this age that we live in believe that if they can just listen to more preachers and listen to another preacher and listen to several preachers and listen to more and more, that they, even if they're good preachers, they think that the more hearing of faith-filled teaching is going to develop them and build their faith. And that's not the truth. That's not the truth. Why? Because we see a weak church and we see many people that are listening to people on TV hour after hour, week after week, and their lives, according to power, are still not changing. Why? Because it goes back to faith does come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It truly has to be something that develops on the inside of you. But Jesus takes it to the next level. He says, okay, this grain of mustard seed, if it has the capacity, listen, let's set fasting aside. Fasting eradicates doubt. What if you take this seed and blow it up to its full proportion of faith? How do I do that? Well, you plant it in the ground. That's your spirit. You plant it, it's least. It's so minute. I mean, Lord, I've been praying for people for the last 2 or 3 years. I can't even get nobody healed from a runny nose. Well, listen, take that seed, because it, in all people, it works the same. If you know how to develop it, it has to go from, we don't have the scripture here on this, but I'm telling you, 30, 60 to 100 fold. But Jesus in the next verse describes the importance of, and he answers the question is, why is it that more people are listening to more word than ever before and there's nothing happening? If more preachers on TV and more people listening, by now we should have had a worldwide revival. And it's not happening. Why? Because it's not changing them on the inside, where Jesus said this, another parable, but it fit perfectly with what he just said. He said this unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now leaven is, I'm not a cook, but I know if you're going to, it's yeast, right? It's yeast. That's the best way to say it. Okay, thanks, Marcia. You want to cause those biscuits or something or to rise? You put that leaven in there and it's yeast. It'll cause it to, and Jesus said, this woman took and 3 measures of meal and put yeast in it until, what does he say? Till the whole thing, 3 measures of meal, till the whole thing was leavened. Well, one, I can tell you this, the reason why he mentions 3 measures is that he's telling you that's the entire person of who you are, spirit, soul, and body. And what he was saying was this, this grain of mustard seed has to be so nurtured that if you take it and you take those words that you're quoting against the mountain and you hold that trophy so close to you that when it becomes part of you, not just you're hearing it from a preacher, but when it leavens on the inside of you to where that it begins to affect how you think, how you act, your body, your mind, your spirit, then a total transformation is taking place. When you flirt with it, when you court it, when you coddle it, and when you say, I love you, Word of God, and it begins to be something on the inside that impregnates every part of you that begins to mushroom out to where that it begins to affect you, then something happens. It's no longer hearsay. It's no longer secondary revelation. See, what most of the church is living on nowadays is secondary revelation. They're hearing somebody say something that they got, but really, even the preachers that are telling it, they're not even living in the full revelation of it. They're not living in the full transformation of the revelation. There's a transformation of the revelation. And when the Word of God, Jesus says, look, you want to get where you raise the dead? Yes. Well, start on a common cold to start with. Well, how do I do that? Well, I'd like to conquer one. I'd like to one time know that I walked away and a fever left within less than the natural time that persons live out a flu bug. Okay? Well, you would like to conquer that. Yes, sir, I would. Okay? First, let something be conquered inside of you. Begin, impregnate that word inside of you. Put it inside of you until where you walk it, until where you sleep it, until where you eat it. Jesus, I believe that everybody I pray for with the flu gets healed. I believe, and then when it comes at you, you begin to see some changes on the inside of you. You begin to see, hey, I used to be sick for a week. Now I got over it in 2 days or 1 day. Or I just felt the symptoms. And the symptoms went away. That wasn't natural. That was supernatural. Why? Because the leaven inside of me is working on the inside of me so much so that it's really causing a supernatural change in spirit, soul, and body. Guess what? You're in a process to where that confidence that's being bred on the inside of you is about to spill over into other people. And when that confidence spills over into you believing that, hey, God can do this, and He's going to do it every single time. That same way that little thing works here, it works on raising the dead. It does. And it's not just for preachers, it's for all of us. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. We're doing good. Well, that's it for tonight. Next week, we've got to put up with that Gary Carpenter. Oh, no. Any comments, any questions? Yes, ma'am.
Can you give us an example or quick testimony
of this for you? Did you hear her question? Could I give an example of this for me as problem, faith, and results? You know what? The one thing that comes to mind is this. There probably several would come to mind, but I remember when our daughter Amber, when did she first have her first seizure? 15 and a half. We had come to this church. My daughter was perfectly healthy, and she went one night to the festival down here at the Catholic Church, Guadalupe, with a friend that's no longer, the family's no longer in this church. And she come back that night at 15 and a half, and she had her first grandma. How do they call it? It's not seizure in our house. And we woke up at 12 or something at night to something just going crazy in our house. And we went running in there, and my daughter looked like she was dying. And we called the ambulance. And if you've never seen, I mean, she was at the worst of the worst of the worst. And her brain actually, they're in such trauma that you feel like that they are going to die. You look at it. I didn't know. I was asking the girl, my God, I mean, did you just do something to her? Because my daughter was perfectly healthy up until that point. And I said, what's going on? What's going on? Because they were asleep in Amber's bedroom. And I said, and then I started saying, did you guys do any drugs tonight? You know, I mean, please just tell me it's okay. I'm not going to go crazy, but I need to save her life. If you did some drugs of any sort, tell me what you did so we can save her life. Because she was like, you know, she was just gone. And it was, you know, for a while. Well, that happened. That started. We went to the doctor. The doctor said she has epilepsy. And this is something he thought was going to be for the rest of her life. And that we would just have to, we could medicate it, we could put up with it. And I just said, no, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. You know, it's just not going to happen. But the corresponding action was this. I knew that I had to go into God. I couldn't just say it's not going to happen. I had to have a deliberate corresponding action with God. That wasn't the last. There was a hellacious fight. I mean, it was horrible. It was horrible. And it looked like she was not going to be able to live a normal life. And yet, I remember that, and I'm not the only, you know, I don't take the only credit. I'm sure my wife was pulling her weight in the spirit. But I remember coming over here to this church, and that's many, many, many years ago. And I was praying in here, and every day I would make confession, and I would walk this corridor, and I would make confession. I can't remember exactly what those confessions were. They were simple confessions, but they were continuous and continuous and continuous until hope was built so strong inside of me that I just knew. I mean, it actually got to the place where I knew that I knew that I knew, even while she was still having them, that it was done. Now, the end of all that is she walks totally free nowadays. She's totally, the result of that is that she has no more problems. She's healed. And I know that what I saw was what the doctor said was something that, I don't know if you guys have ever been around it, that is a horrible situation. And sitting there with your kids, your kid, and the doctor telling you this is something she's probably going to have for the rest of your life. And it was just a terrible situation. I saw the power of God through faith walk that thing out and see where God actually got involved. First in me, he changed that. He leavened me. And after that leaven went to a place where I saw it done, then things started changing for Amber, and she's healed today. Hallelujah. She's healed. So that for me is a living example. Amen. Got one more or comment? I didn't like that part of the service, or yes, I like that part. Okay. Okay. Anybody else? All right, how many want to bless the house of God tonight?
I was going to say something.
Yes.
Would it be correct to say faith comes by hearing and revelation knowledge?
That's another. I think that'd be applicable. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by revelation, actually understanding.
Right.
Like
revelation of
the word. Yeah.
I know
what this means. That's right. When it drops down into revelation, that's good. Did everybody hear that? I mean, we're not trying to rewrite Scripture, but for vernacular sake, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the revelation of it, or by the revelation of the Word. That's good. Anybody else? Hallelujah. I appreciate all of you being here and listening, and we're going to be able to get you out, just like I said. That's great. I like preachers that tell the truth, don't you? That's really good. I would appreciate you blessing the house of God. Any of you that hear anything concerning helping us with expenses this week with Gary and Sue, and you want to give or give more, I would appreciate that so much. And you can give it tonight or give it in any time in the next few days or during the week. But just ask the Lord what He'd have you to give and be in prayer this week. I'm so glad Gary and Sue are coming. And you know what we do? We do everything we can to pray and believe that we're bringing the right people in here. And we know you can't afford, most of you can't afford to take a week off and go to a conference and spend $400 or $500 on a plane ticket. And some of you can, some of you can't. And a hotel room and a rental car. But we're bringing these people down here to you. God's bringing them. I'm not, but God's bringing them to you. So the only thing I ask is that you pray and ask God what He'd have you to give while they're here. So, Father, bless our giving tonight. Thank you, Father, that you supply and meet all our needs according to your riches and glory. And, Father, thank you for the word that went forth tonight by your Holy Spirit. We bless these people in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, also, as you come tonight, please, Olivia, if you'll put these out. If any of you have if you came here tonight and you need prayer for your body or anything desperate, please do not leave sick. We will pray for you. Amen. God bless you. Stand with me. We love you, and we will see you on many of you Friday and many of you Sunday, most of you Sunday. God bless you. Amen.